From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Through, Not Engulfed. The text is Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Bridge there is none. We must go through the waters and feel the rush of the rivers. The presence of God in the flood is better than a ferry boat. Tried we must be, but triumphant we shall be, for Jehovah himself, who is mightier than many waters, shall be with us. Whenever else he may be away from his people, the Lord will surely be with them in difficulties and dangers. The sorrows of life may rise to an extraordinary height, but the Lord is equal to every occasion. The enemies of God can put in our way dangers of their own making, namely persecutions and cruel mockings, which are like a burning fiery furnace. What then? We shall walk through the fires. God being with us, we shall not be burned. Nay, not even the smell of fire shall remain upon us. Oh, the wonderful security of the heaven-born and heaven-bound pilgrim! Floods cannot drown him, nor fires burn him. Thy presence, O Lord, is the protection of thy saints from the varied perils of the road. Behold, in faith I commit myself unto thee, and my spirit enters into rest.
Lord, the King of glory here, who know each thought and action, hope, anxiety and fear. How can I hide from thee? Can darkness hide me? presence, Lord, when I feel so alone. You know each trial and testing pain, the hurt that is unknown. Oh, why can I not see thy hand so firmly guiding me? Oh, how can I untrust in thee when you are very near to me? When God is near, all the world seems far away. When God is near,
it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled Christ's Abounding Grace. The text is verses 15 through 17 of chapter 5. We've already seen that the entire human race has been condemned to death because Adam's sin has been imputed to all of his posterity. In this message, Dr. Cairns is explaining the great contrast that exists between Adam, the federal head of the entire human race, and Christ, who is the federal head of those who are united to him by faith. It's important to understand that although Christ's humanity was real, that is, he had a real human nature, yet because of his virgin birth, he did not have a sin nature. As Adam was the covenant head of those who are born in him, so Christ is the covenant head of those united to him by the new birth. Through the grace of God, all who come to Christ for salvation are justified. That is, they are declared righteous because of what Christ did on the cross. Now, Dr. Cairns continues this message called Christ's Abounding Grace.
Here's a fundamental truth never to forget. There are no recuperative powers in fallen humanity. Once sin came in and death came in, there was nothing left in man to recover or restore himself to the favor of God. So much more then are we shut up to salvation in the one way that God has manifested, namely in Jesus Christ. And that's why in Romans we're told there's propitiation. That's the appeasement of the wrath of God against our sin. There's propitiation in his blood. We're told there's righteousness by his obedience. We're told there's acceptance in his person. This is God's way of salvation. And notice a key word. All this is received, verse 17. Much more shall they which receive abundance of grace. This is received, it's not earned, it's not purchased. It's received by faith alone. Now note this word. Because here, again, it feeds into the whole doctrine of assurance. We fell and sinned in Adam without any volitional action of our own. But you know, you cannot enter Christ without a personal choice. You cannot enter Christ except by volitional action. In other words, you must come to the place that Joshua came to. You say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You come to the place where you say, it is Christ for me. You receive him. Now here's the argument. If non-volitional involvement in Adam brought death, how much more shall our willing acceptance and embracing of the Lord Jesus Christ assuredly bring us to life eternal? Faith in Christ may be weak, but it is never dead. Faith in Christ is never unproductive or unfruitful. Faith in Jesus Christ is guaranteed to bring with it everlasting life. You did not choose to be in Adam, but being in Adam, you were damned. Never forget that. How much more if you choose to be in Christ, shall you most certainly be saved? There's the first conclusion. Salvation must be by the action of our covenant head. Second conclusion. Grace, with its gift of justifying righteousness, abounds to many who are condemned in Adam. It's very clear in verse 15. In other words, Justification in Christ delivers us from the guilt of original sin. Now here again, I have only time to mention some huge ideas that are normally not preached, and in fact I've heard preachers get up and preach the contrary. I'm sure you've sat in meetings many a time where you've heard the preacher define sin and guilt solely in the actions and the choices that you do and make. But you know there's guilt involved in your being in Adam. That's a position of guilt. Guilt is involved not only in what you do. Guilt is involved in what you are. But the grace of God brings such a gift of righteousness, as Paul calls it, that it justifies us from all this guilt. It justifies us from the guilt of our being in Adam and of our being born with a wicked nature. It justifies us from original sin. Now this is absolutely essential to grasp, because if you're a Christian, and many of you are, and the times you struggle with your security and your assurance, you've got to understand this. You look at yourself, what do you find? You find an old man in there. You find a nature that is not admirable. You find that there's a wellspring of iniquity still within your very soul. Oh, there is a new man that would love to be perfect, but there is something within you always dragging you back, and you feel this is filthy and therefore this is guilty. Men and women, let me tell you that the righteous merits of Jesus Christ, first of all, justify us. That is, set us free from the guilt of original sin, of our being in Adam and our possessing a nature that in Adam is depraved and corrupted. In other words, justification alters our fundamental status. It goes deeper than our actions and it gets to our nature. It goes deeper than our actions. It gets to where we are. It deals with our constitution as sinners. Romans 5:19, as we'll discuss in due course, says that by Adam's sin we were constituted. The idea is, legally we were constituted sinners. By the justifying righteousness of Christ, we are now constituted righteous. Justification deals with the guilt of original sin. The third great conclusion is this: the grace with its justifying righteousness not only delivers us from original sin, but from the guilt and condemnation due to the multitude of actual transgressions that we have personally committed against God. You see, one sin led to our condemnation and our alienation from God. But it did a whole lot more than that. It led to a flow, a constant flow of wickedness. And you'll see this as you get into verse 16. Whether there's a free gift that is of many offenses unto justification. You see, we have never ceased sinning. Do you realize that nothing has ever been able to stem the flow of human sinfulness? Never been able to stem the flow of human sinfulness? Men have tried strict laws. Didn't stem the flow of sinfulness. I suppose the simplest example of that would be the prohibition laws in the 1920s here in America. That didn't stop people from drinking. It only made them very clever criminals as well as drunkards. Nothing can stem human sinfulness. Had God not restrained the worst exercises, excesses, and effects of our natural corruption and sinfulness, we would have destroyed the whole world long since. You see, the inventiveness and inveterateness of human depravity are almost limitless. You stop and think of this. We sin. in word, we sin in thought, we sin in action, we sin in motivation, we sin openly, we sin secretly, we sin presumptuously, we sin deliberately. We sin when we're not even thinking about sinning. When we openly espouse evil, we sin. When we appear to pursue good, we still sin. And we stand indicted by the law of a holy God and judged guilty of constantly and willfully breaking the law at every point. Truly our offenses, the word offenses had the idea of our falls, alienating us from God. Our offenses are many. But the glorious truth is that the gift of justification totally and forever covers them all. Justification is the act of God's free grace in pardoning all our sins and accounting us as righteous in His sight because He imputes to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And this act of God removes the guilt of our sins so completely and so permanently that we stand before God utterly, entirely free from guilt and therefore secure from condemnation. It's a wonderful statement of the Apostle Paul that he preached in the Pisidian Antioch in Acts 13, 38 and 39. Every Christian should know it. If you're not saved, you should learn it. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. You know, that takes care of your past in its totality. That takes care of your present and even of your future. That looks at everything that you have ever done, ever thought, ever said, ever imagined. That looks at every grain of iniquity that you've ever committed. That looks at the dark things of which you've been ashamed. That looks at the things that no one but God knows. That looks at the things that you cannot purge away. And with all the law keeping in the world, you could never deal with the awful stain upon your conscience. But he says, listen, you are justified from all things. Total, complete, permanent, irreversible justification. Oh, it deals with original sin. It changes our standing. But it deals with the actual transgressions and frees us from the guilt of every one of them. It's the mercy and the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But even then he hasn't finished, for the fourth great conclusion is this, that grace with its gift of justifying righteousness not only delivers us from the guilt of original sin, not only delivers us from the condemnation due to the multitude of our actual transgressions, not only delivers us from this death, but it confers on us eternal life as the reward of the righteousness of Christ, his righteous actions in our behalf. Look at verse 17. If by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. See what he's saying? The Lord Jesus Christ has not only saved us from condemnation and death, he has done that, but he has earned for us the title to eternal life. We shall reign. Notice the emphatic certainty. We shall reign in life through him.
Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.